This is Childhood Matters, presented by Interactive Parenting Media.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids.
We are family. Get up, everybody, and sing.
Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning and welcome to Childhood Matters. You know, I've been talking to and hearing from parents this week about raising girls strong from the start. Here's what one mother wrote to me. She says, "The idea for me is this: no matter what my daughter looks like or does in her life, and no matter what others say or think about her, I want her to know every day that she is good and beautiful. It saddens and maddens me how targeted little girls, teens, and women are in our society. As a parent, I already feel vigilant about wanting to protect my daughter from these targeting efforts. And she's only 11 months old. My work to raise her strong from the start currently takes the form of educating myself as much as possible about what it means to cultivate her self-esteem at even this young age. It's so clear to me that she has an enormously strong will and is remarkably determined. So in this way, it's not my job to cultivate anything, but rather to protect the inherent strength with which she was born and, frankly, to step out of the way as much as possible so that she can discover it for herself." That was the voice of one of our regular listeners. So today we're going to be talking about raising girls. I'm Nurse Rona, and I'm here each week to present important topics to parents, grandparents, foster parents, childcare providers, big sisters, big brothers, or anyone who cares for and about children. So today we'll reflect on what girls face and how we can support them to be powerful and authentic. We have a great deal of work to do. As girls become teens, you know, they often lose their sense of self, and they transform into someone who is insecure, passive, competitive, and sometimes unaware of their own strength and competence. Let's take a listen to Jennifer Marshall of Youth Radio.
Image is everything in the type of world we live in. It's all about who's the thinnest, the prettiest, and who has the best style. I'm Jennifer Marshall with a commentary from Youth Radio. Every year, more and more girls are faced with a society that doesn't accept the many beautiful shapes and forms we come in. In the movie Mean Girls, there is a scene where these girls are in front of a mirror complaining about their bodies. The one girl who didn't do it at first was looked at like she was crazy for not hating something about herself. Although people laughed at this scene, the sad truth is that girls do this on a daily basis. My friends and I are all different ethnicities, shapes, and sizes. When we go to the mall, it's like they all forget everything great about themselves. While trying on jeans, we'll ask each other's opinions, and the whole group of girls will, of course, say, "You look really beautiful." But then, a usual response is, "No, I don't." I still find myself saying the words fat and ugly, but just last year I came to a revelation that maybe if I didn't spend all my time hating myself, people would see what I liked about me. For Youth Radio, I'm Jennifer Marshall.
Thank you, Jennifer Marshall, and also Youth Radio. So today we're going to talk about how we raise our daughters from the start to love and accept themselves, and what can we do when they lose their way. We want to hear from you today about raising and teaching girls. Call us at 877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. And you can email us during the show anytime at info@childhoodmatters.org. We're so glad to be joining you this morning on KISS FM, K-Ocean, KBBF, and for folks in England and Eureka, I know you'll be listening to us during the week. It's great to know that everyone's out there, and anytime we'd love to hear from you at info@childhoodmatters.org. Today's program is made possible in part by funding from the Isabel Allende Foundation. Joining us in the studio is Lisa Izzy, athlete, coach, and founder and president of Girls Are Champions. As an NCAA All-American and National Champion Gymnast and former gymnastics coach at Stanford University, Lisa applies her courage and strength to everything in life. Lisa also has a Master of Fine Arts in writing. As founder and president of Athletic Girl Productions, Lisa works with the media to empower girls to achieve their dreams. A mother of two sons and a daughter, she hopes to teach her children the value of sports, the benefits of a challenge, and the miracles that come when you believe in yourself. Lisa Izzy, it's great to have you with us this morning.
Thank you, Rona. I'm so happy to be here. I'm just really excited.
Good. Also joining us is Dr. Kay Kleinerman. She has a doctorate in educational leadership from Mills College and is a scholar, educator, writer, and vocal coach for over 20 years. She's been also the founder of Voice Matters. Kay has pioneered the use of singing to foster personal transformation and leadership development. She was also a professional singer, actor, stage director, music director, and producer, and served in senior leadership positions in several nonprofit arts and education organizations. Her passion is rooted in helping others find, develop, and fully use their authentic voice. Her ongoing curiosity about the voice and its capabilities is the focus of her research and writing. Kay Kleinerman, welcome to Childhood Matters.
Thank you, Rona. I'm very pleased to be here.
Great to meet both of you. So let's start right with you, Lisa Izzy. How can parents start off at an early age helping their daughters to feel like they can do anything they want to and feel good about taking up space and feeling powerful?
Well, that's an excellent question. When you say at an early age, my first thought is as a toddler or as a preschool age child. And what you were talking about earlier, how this parent wrote in and was thinking about how can I cultivate, you know, the independence and the strength and the courage and everything as my daughter's growing up, yet. Then she thought, well, no, she already has these things. It's about allowing her, and how can I continue to guide her in these ways and protect that? And when I went to look at preschools for my children, there was this one that I went to that was a co-op in Grandma, Virginia, at Parents Nursery School in Palo Alto. She just said one phrase to a child who was trying to tie their shoes. And before the child even thought about that this is a little bit hard, when the laces were kind of drooping, she just inserted, "You can do it." And I just said, "Oh," and it was just so powerful and the energy. And she said it again, "You can do it." And I just thought, oh, my God, this is where my child is going to go to school.
So she didn't say, oh, sweetie, let me help
you. Let me help you.
I know you won't be able to do this well. But, yeah, so the voice, how people speak, what they say.
Yeah, so from the start, I think it is whether you have a son or a daughter, but particularly today we're talking about girls, is that you really do just continue that with that encouraging voice, that voice of confidence, and say you can do it and allow them the freedom, the space to express themselves. My daughter never wanted to have shoes on, and she'd lose her socks all the time. And after 2 years of preschool, I'd walk in searching for her shoes and socks, and the mothers would say, "Lisa, she never wears socks. Just let her go barefoot." I'd go, "Oh, you're right." You know, and I think I was having some kind of a resistance issue, and she was just, she's very athletic and climbing trees and, you know, with the boys and everything.
And you needed to get out of her way.
I needed to get out of her way.
Good. Well, that's a good start for us. And speaking of voice, Kay Kleinerman, tell us how you work with a girl's voice to help her feel in touch with her true nature and strength and maybe some of the barriers for girls. What are they?
Well, one of the things I have found is a barrier for girls, not every girl, but a lot of the girls I work with, is just making a big noise, just letting their voices come out with big breath, freedom, exploring the reach and range and power and breadth and depth of their voices. And so that's what I try to get girls whom I work with to do. First, stand tall, then take a big breath. And to take a big breath, you have to let go of that pulled-in stomach that we're all told we need to have. So forget the flat stomach. Let it go. Take a deep breath that really engages your entire breath capacity. And then come out with a sound. And don't worry about whether or not it's pretty. Make the sound go through the entire range. So you know what the potential of your voice is and what it's capable of.
And when you're saying that, I could think of all the messages that I got as a child. You know, my mother was a very sweet woman, and she was just, you know, raising me to be a nice, clean girl. And, you know, I think all of us can think about those messages about, you know, being neat, being pretty, not being sloppy, not having loud voices. I mean, it's everywhere.
It is.
And maybe it's a little better now, but there are other messages that come pretty strong from the media and everywhere else.
Absolutely. There are lots of messages, and they are about how girls should look and how girls should dress and how thin girls should be. And by the way, the thinner you are, the less capacity you have to take a big breath and make a big noise. And it does still manifest itself in telling girls how they should sound, how they should sound with their speaking voice, how they should sound with their singing voices. Who are the biggest singing icons? Young girls with very breathy, very wispy voices. That's not a big noise, and girls are capable of making a big sound.
Maybe that's why I like Queen Latifah.
There you go.
She has a great sound. Anyway, this is what we're going to talk about today. Who are the role models? What are the issues you have in raising a daughter? Maybe you have an idea of how your daughter should be, and she's real different than that. We'd love to hear from you. 1-877-372-KIDS. 877-372-5437. We have two great women here who have grappled with these issues for a long time, probably personally and professionally. And we'll start off this morning with our live line. We have Susan from San Francisco joining us. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Rona.
Do you have a voice early this morning?
not much, but I will say that my children who woke up at 6:45, really, I'm not really worried that my daughter is not going to make a loud noise in the future.
How old is your daughter?
She's 3 1/2, and she has an 8-year-old brother.
Ah, so that also is a big influence on her, I'm sure.
I think it's a huge influence on her.
Yes. Any questions, observations, comments?
I do, actually. I have to say that my daughter, she's been in preschool for probably 2 years now, and about halfway through her first year in preschool, she was introduced to princesses, and particularly the Disney variety. My daughter likes the A-list princesses, Cinderella, Snow White, and Sleeping Beauty in particular. In fact, when she started her new preschool this year and everyone went around and introduced themselves, when they got to Allie and they asked what her name was, she answered Snow White, which was what they called her for the first 6 months. so my question is, I guess, why is there such an appeal to her about these princesses? And down the road, you know, is there anything we should do to counteract the messages that she's getting from these? I mean, she doesn't sit and watch the movies every day, but she likes dressing up and she likes reading about them. And
Will she wear other clothes other than princess clothes?
Yes, she will. Uh-huh. But I would say that pretty much for about a 3 or 4 month period, when she got home from school, she changed out of her clothes into some costume or another.
Yeah, yeah. And is it interfering in any way with her friendships or, you know, the way she moves in the world?
Well, she and her friends will fight over who gets to be Snow White, but...
Good. Well, this is great. I think you are not alone, Susan. There are a lot of women asking this question. Let's have a conversation about it. Kay, what response do you have for this?
Well, it sounds to me like from what you said that your daughter has no problems making a big noise and making herself heard. That's excellent. I would say, first of all, continue to encourage that. Singing for children is a form of freedom of expression, and it's the way they get to know their voices and how powerful their voices are. I would also say that, let me ask you, is she singing a certain song? Is she singing Someday My Prince Will Come?
we'll get the song from Ariel. There's one about wanting to be human, I think. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much it. She has a doll that her babysitter gave her that sings from Sleeping Beauty, and I'm blanking on the song now. Once Upon a Dream.
Yeah.
We'll get Once Upon a Dream a little bit.
So very fantasy-oriented, not so much the prince coming to rescue and marry me.
Well, I'll be perfect. me on is the princes really don't have a lot to do with the fantasy play. I mean, the princes get a lot really
good
trip to it.
I think that's a good sign. I mean, I'm not a psychologist, but I can tell you that the music that children sing and sing to themselves and sing to others is influential on the way they think. So if she's singing songs about the princesses or something to do with herself as a princess in that fantasy, I think that's a healthy expression.
You know, and you might play music. What's that wonderful song? You gotta be strong, you gotta be wise. Tony will know what that is. You'll have to tell us what it is. You know, you might actually play songs other than, you know, the Snow White princess songs that are part of her then development.
Absolutely.
In that sense. Let's see what Lisa has to say.
Yeah, I have a lot of things going through my mind. When you said something about, you know, should I or consider counteracting, what came to my mind was don't counteract, enhance. So continue to nurture what she's interested in, but then also, like Rona is saying, you know, whether it's bring other songs into her everyday life or whether you have books that have other female role models. And other kinds of games. And so you're just basically expanding what she's what's visible to her and her experience with friends and whatnot. But the other thing is that a lot of the Disney movies with these princesses is that they're very beautiful, of course. And I think between a mother and a father, and a girl will identify more with her own gender. And they have high-pitched voices, and they lull. They almost, even when they talk, it's very melodic. And so I think that that's something that young children, they identify with. It nurtures them. And so there's something very friendly and comforting about that. So I wouldn't worry.
And I think what's important is as parents not to then become obsessed yourself about it. Not that you do that, Susan, but what I've seen parents do is once the child identifies, say, as a princess, then they go out and buy them every princess outfit. And then when they go shopping, they say, oh, honey, come on over here. Take a look at these princess things.
Yeah.
And then when they see grandma, they say, oh, mom, did you know that, you know, Janie is a princess? And and the parent, and often the mother, sometimes the father, then carries that, and then it becomes more stuck and glued, and the label sticks. I just want to read something that a young adult wrote to me on my email about this subject. She says, why are they drawn? Specifically, I think one thing all the messages have in common is that they stress the importance of beauty. Princesses are the ultimate beauty, and they're loved unconditionally just for that reason. They're always perfect and always rescued by Prince Charming because of their perfection. Sleeping Beauty was saved because she was a hottie. She didn't even say a word. The princess complex certainly follows some girls into adulthood, but takes on different forms and different names. I think it all stems from the same place. So one of the things is to let her have her fantasy play and make sure you throw other things in that box that you have all the dress up, and then just step back and not make a big deal of it. So I think, Susan, does this make sense?
Oh, I absolutely think so. I mean, I have to laugh because with the other ear, I can hear my daughter and my son are building the world's longest, tallest Lego tower.
So. Yes, exactly. Well, we have the Paper Bag Princess. Do you have that book yet?
I don't think I do.
Paper Bag Princess by Robert Munsch, and it's about a princess who doesn't dress up beautifully. And we also have tickets. Let our producer know if you'd like to go to Fairyland, which is one of my favorite places, actually. Mm-hmm. They're having the Active Arts Theater Troupe do If You Give a Mouse a Cookie, and it's coming up this month from July 23rd to August 16th. If you'd like some tickets for that, let us know. Thank you so much.
Terrific. Thank you.
Have a great day. You know, the song I was thinking of, thank you, Tony, you sent to me, it's called You Gotta Be by Desiree.
Yeah. Yes.
You gotta be bold.
Yes.
You gotta be bad. You gotta be bold. You gotta be wiser.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
I'm not going to sing it. You could sing it, Kay, if you wanted. But all I know is love will save the day. So it's one of those songs I remember playing a lot in my house.
Yes.
And I think people should look for music that would enhance
Absolutely.
The experience.
Certainly. Lyrics that are really empowering.
Anything in particular that comes to your mind, Kay?
Empowering songs?
Yeah. for girls? I mean, that's a hard thing to put you on the spot about. Think about it.
I will think about it.
As we're talking about this, we'd love to hear from you this morning. 1-877-372-KIDS. And in a moment, we'll take your call.
And get involved.
Call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
More with Rona Renner after this.
Here's this week's Childhood Matters community calendar with events for parents and kids. Create a collage that conceals a secret at the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art's Family Studio. Also, enjoy a tour and book reading. Sunday, July 19, from 11 to 3. For more information, call 415-469-4988. That's 415-469-4988. San Jose families, enjoy stories with movement, music, and drums with storyteller Olga Loya at the Alviso Branch Library. Wednesday, July 22 at 3:30. For more information, call 408-263-3626. That's 408-263-3626. Brentwood families, learn about Bowman Lake and other local quiet water destinations on a free tour. Meet at REI Brentwood, Thursday, July 23 at 7 p.m. For more information, call 925-516-3540. That's 925-516-3540. San Rafael teens, come to the Marin Youth Center, a.k.a. The Mike, for Friday Sensation. Enjoy card games, pool tournaments, dance lessons, movies, and more. Friday, July 24, from 7 to 9. For more information, go to www.themike.com. That's www.themyc.com. Albany parents, meet pregnancy and parenting professionals, shop for maternity clothes, and attend free workshops at the East Bay Baby Fair, Saturday, July 25, from 11 to 3. For more information, go to www.eastbaybabyfair.com. That's www.eastbaybabyfair.com. For additional information and more events, visit our website, childhoodmatters.org. And to submit events, email info@childhoodmatters.org. I'm Anthony Giorgetti. The saying goes, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Nowhere does this apply more than with our youngest children. That's why First Five Monterey County is working with local organizations to ensure families have access to physical, mental, and oral health services, parenting education, assistance with special needs, and literacy classes. First Five Monterey County programs are developed for the specific needs of our community and deliver critical prevention services to families with young children. To learn more, visit www.firstfivemonterey.org. That's first, the number five, Monterey.org.
You can have the greatest influence on your child's language development. The most important thing you can do is talk to your baby, starting at birth and in any language. When you talk, make eye contact and allow time for your child to respond with a look, smile, or sound. Reading with your baby from the time she is born will also help her learn to talk. If your child doesn't say any words by 14 months or put two words together by 2 years, check with your health provider. Remember, have fun talking and reading with your baby. This message is brought to you by Every Child Counts, First Five, Alameda County.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by First Five Santa Clara County.
Here's more with Nurse Rona.
Today, we're talking with Lisa Izzy, athlete, coach, writer, and founder and president of Girls Are Champions, and Dr. Kay Kleinerman, scholar, educator, writer, singer, vocal coach, and founder of Voice Matters. And we're talking with you. We're talking about girls. How can they be strong from the smart and what strong from the start and smart? And what I mean by strong is really strong in their own sense of who they are. You wanted to say something about that, Lisa?
Yeah, the last caller was talking about how her three-year-old daughter is dressing up as Snow White. And what I was thinking is that even at 3 years old, they're never too young to start planting the seed of kind of life philosophies and self-beliefs. And for instance, self-love, self-respect, and really learning what does that look like? What does that mean? And to present images and put words to that. There's a book that I absolutely love, and my daughter, who's now 11 and a half, loves, and this is coming from a sports aspect. But when you are actually strong in your body and your mind, then you actually feel strong as you go out to the world and approach, you know, taking risks and whatnot. Anyway, the book is called Game Face, What Does a Female Athlete Look Like? And for a young child, it has so many pictures and the image after image after image of young girls, teenagers, adult women, and even older women in their 60s and 70s who are doing some form of physical activity, competition, athleticism, even whether it's golf, jump rope, on a swing, swinging, all the way up to Olympic skiing and gymnastics and all different kinds of sports. Anyway, the images are just motivating, mm-hmm. and it just gets you at your core like, wow, look at her.
Yes.
And these types of seeds, mental seeds that are planted, I think, can really enhance or broaden a girl's scope of what's possible.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I want to add to that, doing a simple thing like listening to your daughter, no matter how young she is an empowering act for her. Carol Gilligan is a psychologist who has studied the issues of voice and identity for women, and what she says is that one's voice is akin to the core of oneself, and that to have voice is to be human. But speaking depends on listening and being heard. And so we need to listen to our girls.
You know, and it brings up the whole issue of temperament, too, because there are some girls who by nature are going to be more slow to warm up, withdrawing. And I think about big families like my own, and, you know, at the dinner table, if you have other voices that are very loud, a younger child's voice may be missing. And that idea of making sure there's space to listen to that child is really important. Let's take more calls. 1-877-372-KIDS. We'd love to hear from you on this subject. We have Philip now in San Leandro. Good morning, Philip.
Good morning. How are you?
Good to see that there's a guy out there listening, calling in. I love that. What do you think about this subject?
Well, I just have a question. I have two kids. My daughter is now 6, and I have a boy who's 1. And when my daughter was little, I gave her all the attention. And so she grew up with all the nurturing, and I read to her all the time, and I made sure that she was listened to and all those things. But now I've got another boy, a 1-year-old, and he gets all the attention. And I'm noticing, even though this is not what I want to do, my communication with my daughter is not so good now.
Yeah. Good observation, Philip. You know, I mean, that you're noticing that is really important. How does she show you that the communication isn't good?
Well, she was very understanding at first.
Yes.
She was understanding for months.
Yes.
But now, well, she says, you know, well, no one pays attention to me. And
good for her that she could actually say it. I mean, that's impressive that she could actually say it, not just throw things.
Yeah, but and so it's great that she understands to some degree, but it doesn't make up for the fact that she's not getting the attention. And
well,
I tend to be more curt with her than I want to be.
Okay, so Philip, this in a way is something you can do something about. Because the truth is, a 1-year-old, the second child, can often be taken along with, you know, what you're doing. So you want to focus on how come she's not getting the attention, and how do you divide and conquer? Do you have a partner?
Yeah, but most of the time it's me.
Most of the time it's you. Are you a stay-at-home dad?
Yeah.
So I'm really glad you're calling, by the way. We are doing a show on that in a few weeks, and I'll be mentioning it later on in the show about a book we're giving away. But one of the things is children need alone time.
Uh-huh.
And if you were to start to say, what's your daughter's name?
Kathy.
Let's schedule some special time, just me and you, because, you know, Kathy, with the baby, it's been hard, and I really miss spending just special time with you. And then you figure out whether there's a babysitter or a relative or during nap time. But start to say that and turn that around. You'll notice it will make a huge difference. Lisa, you've had more than one kid. Don't you think that special time is key?
Oh, my gosh. I'm a single parent, and I have three children. And I'm also one of seven children myself. I have six brothers and sisters. And I actually laughed at myself when I heard this coming out of my mouth. And it was, to me, at the moment, I thought I was ingenious, of course, because nobody's patting you on the back for being a good parent. But when my third child was just an infant and my other two children it was snack time, I thought, okay, well, they can have some cookies. And so the littlest one, Conrad, was in the bassinet or something, and he started crying. And I said, well, Conrad, you don't have any teeth, so you can't have a cookie. I'm sorry. And the other kids, I think, sat up taller and grinned as I handed them their cookies.
Right.
I did have the intention of wanting them to hear that they are older, they get these privileges, they're special in some way, and it's not just all about the baby.
Right. That's a really good point, because sometimes we don't say out loud things to the older child to make sure they know that we still think that they're the light of our lives.
Oh, yes.
Kay.
I think also, I'm remembering back to, I'm the third child. I'm the youngest. I'm remembering back to the alone time that I had with each of my parents, and a lot of it was spent in doing things together. I sang with my father. Mm. I made terrariums with my mother. Mm. But again, from my perspective, it is that relationship of listening to them, talking with them, hearing, being heard, that crucial exchange of voices together and listening together.
So, Philip, does the baby go to bed earlier than your daughter?
Unfortunately, no.
No, unfortunately, no. At bedtime, is there someone else to watch the baby while you can read stories with your daughter?
You know, the little guy, he demands my attention at night.
So at night,
I give it to him.
So what I want you to do is over the next couple of days, I want you to look and you know, like sort of do a log in your own mind. I want you to look and think about, how can I carve out this special time, 10 minutes here, 15 minutes here, and how can I ask for help with the baby so that my daughter knows that she's still so important to me? I'm so glad you called, Philip, because, you know, the fact that you're talking about it means that you understand a lot. I have a book here called Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, 10 Secrets Every Father Should Know by Meg Meeker. I'm going to send that to you if you'd like, and also a family guest pass to Habitat Children's Museum in Berkeley.
Thank you.
And keep listening, and I hope to hear from you again, Philip.
Okay, thank you.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
Issues and concerns surrounding our children's lives.
Pick up the phone at 1-877-372-KIDS.
We're talking about girls being strong, knowing their essential nature from the start. We have a call now from Liz in San Francisco. Good morning, Liz.
Hi, Rona.
Thanks for joining us this morning.
Sure, no problem.
This is a subject you're interested in. What about this?
Well, you know, I know we were talking about this the other day, and I just think one of the things that comes up for me a lot is that not all girls are going to be loud and demanding, which is definitely what I was like as a child. So I think what's really important is remembering to teach girls, not that they have to be bold and loud, but to make decisions for themselves and to not feel bad about it, whether they're going to be quiet or they're going to be loud or ask for things or not.
So making decisions for themselves, and any sense about, from your own experience or other people you know, how you help a girl do that early on? When they're young? Is it simple things like, what would you like to make for dinner? Like that?
Yeah, and teaching them to make good decisions. So, like, really helping them learn how to make decisions in a good way and to make healthy choices for themselves. I think one thing I was thinking about that was really good for me as a young girl, because I was that, you know, shy, quiet child, I had a teacher who kind of understood me really well, and I remember she met with students individually periodically throughout the year. I think I was probably 9 or 10 at this point in time, and she, at one of our meetings, said, Liz, you know, I know you're really quiet and you sometimes feel shy, but I think that you might be a good leader. So what she suggested was that we sat in groups, and next time we were going to do a group project, she made me the leader of the group without singling me out in front of the class. And I think that was really good for me to see that I could make choices and kind of be a leader, even though I wasn't a loud kid.
Very good. Kay, you want to respond to
this? Yeah, I think what you said about not necessarily having to be loud is absolutely apropos. That's what's called authentic voice. It's not that every girl has to make a big sound. It's more the point of if you want to explore your sound and see what it's like, go ahead and do it. Don't let anybody tell you how you should sound. But if you are the type of person who doesn't feel the need to make a big noise, that's great too, as long as you know what your authentic voice is, as long as it's coming from a place in you that you believe in, that you're creating the sound you want to create.
And also, I think what Liz is saying is really true also in sports, where a coach or a teacher can look and see who this person is and put them in that leadership role, even if they don't have that loud voice. And I think that's what Liz is pointing out. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate what you're saying this morning, Liz. Thanks a lot for calling.
No problem, Marana.
Okay, have a great day.
You too.
Let's take a listen now to some voices on the street.
When you were born, they looked at you and said, what a good girl. What a smart girl, what a pretty girl.
For this week, I went to Habitat in Berkeley and spoke with parents about raising daughters.
What challenges do you think are unique in raising daughters?
Some of the issues regarding dressing with girls. I haven't faced it yet because my daughter's only 3, but a lot of the clothes in the stores now are just a little too sexy for young girls, whereas boys don't have that problem.
Right now, I don't know, but adolescents, I bet they're going to be more emotional as they get older. And that'll be, you know, making sure you address their emotional needs. I mean, but I think that you're going to have that with both boys and girls.
My daughters are very sensitive. I watch how my tone is because my oldest really gets upset quickly.
Who do your daughters look up to?
Mommy, daddy, grandma, grandpa.
My youngest, definitely my older daughter. My older daughter, she kind of splits between me and my wife. But if you ask her anything that she knows, who taught you that, it's always my wife, even if I just got through teaching her it.
Angelina Ballerina is a favorite book. The older one likes Dora.
She doesn't really watch much of TV, so she doesn't really know any celebrities beyond, like, Dora and Caillou. But in real life, I would say our family and her older cousins, they walk on water.
I don't know where she learned it, but she does like this Obama cheerleading thing. So she knows him if she sees his face on TV.
Our oldest loves everything princess, and we don't know how that happened. It just happened where she loves to dress up and she loves everything princessy. But yet she can ride a bike and ski as well. So she's got this nice balance. I kind of like that.
Oh, yes. She actually was a princess for Halloween, wears the wings around the house. Sometimes she puts it on, twirls around the house.
What do you think got her started getting into that?
A thing on Sesame Street where there's a character that's like a butterfly and a princess, and she loves butterflies.
I've tried really hard to avoid that. I don't buy her any princess toys or dolls or Barbies or any of that stuff.
But the princess, I think it's wonderful. I like the creative play, so anything dress up, but I also try to provide all types of dress up, like pirates and cowboys, as well as the princess dresses. Of course, I can't control what she chooses, but I try to give her opportunities to dress up in any character role.
It was great. I thought it was going to be hard having 2 girls, because I initially thought I wanted a boy, but it's absolutely great. I'm happy, and I couldn't ask for better kids.
For Childhood Matters, this is Anthony Chichester.
Yeah, so many ways we think about girls and so many things we put on them about how they should be. Lisa, any responses here?
Yeah, you probably saw me writing madly as I was listening to the people on the street. The one gentleman was talking about, I think, a young daughter and saying that their role models are the mother. And I think that after listening to preteens and teens talk at a Girls for a Change conference in San Jose that I went and taught at, these preteens and teens were talking about their mothers, aunts, grandmothers being their role models, not the celebrities. But we were talking about who are good role models, people you admire, and they talked about their own family members.
So keep in mind, your daughter is watching you.
Yes, and yes, and we are their teachers.
That's right.
Your daughter's listening to you.
So your daughter is listening to you. So when what you say about your weight and your height and what you're wearing
is
really
an impact.
Huge.
If you're waking up, we want you to join us right after the break. 1-877-372-KIDS.
Join the dialogue.
Share your thoughts.
Add your feedback.
All Childhood Matters now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Brought to you in part by First Five Santa Clara County.
All children need good nutrition, from breastfeeding to baby food to school lunches. They need an active lifestyle, time to run, jump, and play. But to keep good health, kids need even more: regular doctor visits, immunizations, and dental care. For more information about children's health and free or low-cost health insurance, contact the First Five Commission in your county at www.first5kids.org/BAY. At First Five, we believe every child deserves to be healthy. Don't you?
Summer provides great opportunities to explore the outdoors, but before your child plays in the sun, keep these safety tips in mind. Always use sunscreen, and make sure kids wear a hat and sunglasses to protect them from harmful UV rays. When children are playing in water, watch them closely. Be aware of water dangers, and always know where the nearest lifeguard is. On the playground, check the play structures before letting kids climb them. Remember, metal can rust, wood can splinter, and plastic can crack. And finally, banish those bugs. Use kid-friendly insect repellents and non-scented soaps and lotions to keep bugs away. For more on summer safety, contact your local Bay Area First Five County Commission by visiting first5california.com/parents. That's first5california.com/parents.
This is Nurse Rona with news for parents, providers, and everyone who cares about kids. Childhood Matters is now podcasting. So many people have told me they love our show but can't listen on Sunday mornings. Now it's easy to get our shows on your iPod or MP3 player and take us with you. Sign up for podcasting today at childhoodmatters.org. And if you or someone you know speaks Spanish, click on the Nuestros Niños logo and learn about our sister show in Spanish with Dr. Marisol.
Hello, my name is Robbie. I'm a devoted father of a 5-year-old boy and a 1-year-old girl. I used to get frustrated when my kids would do things that I would disapprove of. Then I heard Nurse Rona say that kids' behavior has meaning, and I needed to look and see what my son was asking of me. Nurse Rona helps thousands of parents like me each week with issues about health, child care, education, and anything and everything pertaining to children. In these challenging economic times, parents need more help than ever, and Childhood Matters needs your help. With your support, we can stay on the air and continue to provide valuable information and inspiration to people like you. Join me in helping Childhood Matters, a nonprofit organization who needs your financial support. No donation is too small or too large to help Nurse Rona stay on the air. Go to childhoodmatters.org to make a donation or call them at 877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-KIDS. I'm speaking to you about a show I am passionate about, a show that has helped me be the best father I can be. Please help.
Oh, baby.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
Brought to you in part by Every Child Counts. First Five, Alameda County.
Back to your host, Rona Renner.
We're talking with Lisa Izzy, athlete, coach, writer, and founder of and president of Girls Are Champions, and Dr. Kay Kleineman, scholar, educator, writer, singer, vocal coach, and much more, and founder of Voice Matters. And we're talking with you about girls. We'd love to hear from you this morning as you're waking up, thinking about the girls who you raise or teach. But first, an announcement about Nurse Rona's book club. It's going to be next month. We're going to have a show. And if you're a stay-at-home dad or raising children with one, you'll be really interested in getting a copy of the book The Daddy Shift by Jeremy Adam. Free copies are available for the first 8 people who sign up on our website, childhoodmatters.org. We'll send you this recently released hardback book if you agree to participate by phone on the show. Make sure and tune in on August 16th when our guest host, Will Courtney, will talk with Jeremy Adam about being a stay-at-home dad. But now we're talking about daughters, and we have a call from Amy Jessel from Shaping Youth. Hi, Amy. Good morning. You're on the air, Amy.
Great. Hi.
Hi.
I thought we would probably go over some resources today. We keep talking about some problems and looking for some solutions.
Go right ahead.
I just wanted to share a few things that are pertinent to this because there are a couple new sites that are coming out. ShapingYouth.org has done a whole series on all things girl, and I know we'll be posting those for Childhood Matters and give all your listeners the links. But there are a couple of new organizations that I think are really interesting here, one called TrueChild.org, which is based in Washington, D.C., and they do talk about the stereotypes and the specifics behind the gender issues. You know, when kids are watching, say, the female cartoon characters are 5 times more likely to be shown in skimpy clothing and that kind of thing. You know, even when they're animals, right?
Right,
3 times more likely to be shown with physically impossible tiny waists. You know, these are the kind of media things that parents can't control other than to teach them that the filter between their ears is what they need to use to look at those messages and say, well, you know, what do you think is wrong with that? You know, what do you think is,
yes,
what's that about?
What other sites, Amy?
Some other sites. I really like another one that's new on the scene called Reign of the Girl Child. And she has a new book that's sort of it's written for girls called Feel Good Girl. And it's Felicia Richardson Battle. She is out of the East Coast, but she's got a very fun, light way of dealing with some of this that I just love. Feel Good Girl. And also locally, Molly and Nan Delheim, I don't know if you've had them on your show before, but they have a journal-based book for solutions called How I Look, you know, meaning at myself, how I look at myself, at my world, at my future, and it just talks about what you can do with mind zingers and negative talk and, you know, how to keep your voice and focus thoughts on positivity.
Well, you are just a wealth of information. We need another hour at least because, you know, Amy, let's do a follow-up show on all the media that's available, both the media that's negative in terms of all the images to our kids. But I think what you're saying is there are solutions that parents can know about. How can people find out all these resources, Amy?
Well, Shaping Youth, right now I have one up there that will tell you sort of the problem as well as some of the solutions, how to take action, to fund research on the impact of media and marketing on kids. And there are new books like So Sexy, So Soon by Jean Kilborn that's coming out in paperback next week. I'll be writing, doing an interview with her next week. So
great.
Parents can kind of segue from your show over to Shaping Youth.
Okay, Shaping Youth,
daughter things.
ShapingYouth.org, and Amy Jessel is a wealth of information. Amy, thank you so much. We're going to try and fit in a couple of more calls here, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's take a listen to some folks at Destiny Arts.
This week, I went to the Destiny Arts Center in Oakland and spoke with music teacher Michelle Jordan, counselors Miranda Buxton and Rose Huey, and some of their students about the value of performance to youth, especially young girls.
The study of the human voice and the study of my voice has been a very powerful tool in keeping me grounded, humble, empowered, and for little girls, I think it's really important that they have the reminder and role model for knowing when it's necessary to bring your words to a room.
I think it builds self-esteem. So when these girls are performing a dance or in dance class or doing martial arts, they have something that they can grow in and be good at. And I think that's really important as a young woman.
At Destiny, we have a community settings. So just having the girls be here and know that regardless of how they look, there's always support for what they're doing. That just really builds a lot of self-confidence. And the fact that we put an emphasis on performance, it's just always about being confident in yourself regardless of how you look. So there's always that support from everyone, unconditional support.
You learn dance, theater, art. Sometimes you do conflict resolution classes.
We learn martial arts and how to protect ourselves.
It's taught me a lot about just standing alone in myself and knowing that there's people behind me. And I think that is the really like a key point of Destiny, is that you learn how to be an individual, but then you also always know that there's people behind you, and you know how to look for support when you need it. But ultimately, like, they build strong youth and strong girls.
The power of music and the power of sound brings healing to the body in a variety of ways. I mean, in many of the spiritual practices, without getting very religious, you'll find that there's always some sort of sound, toning, chanting that is emanated from the body. And in empowering women, girls, to use your voice, to use those powerful words to support you in being safe always.
Can't you see that I'm loving myself, loving myself, loving myself? Can't you see that I'm loving myself?
Yes, can't you see? Michelle Jordan, thank you. Destiny Arts, thank you. Michelle Jordan actually taught my daughter Karina at a young age to sing. Kay, your response to these fine folks.
Yeah, well, I could go on for hours about this. I will make this succinct. First of all, yes, all arts are great, not only for building self-esteem, but I think even more important, a sense of self-efficacy, which is the sense of I can. I can do this. I can try that. Particularly with regard to voice, because we heard about music and singing twice, I want to point out that several, many psychologists for decades have written about the link, the integral link between voice and identity. And what has been discovered is that the development of a sense of voice, mind, and self are closely knit, particularly for women. And there's one book that I hope everyone gets called The Human Voice. And Anne Karpfen there writes, finding one's voice is a powerful experience with capacity to alter one's view of oneself and one's place in the world.
You do amazing work for girls who want to sing, girls who just want to find their voice. How can people find out where you are?
You can either Google me, just type in Kay Kleinerman, or you can go to www.classicalsingeronword.net/Kay Kleinerman.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Kay.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask Lisa to wrap up here, but I just want to say Savannah, who we didn't get on the air, she said she finds that girls have more conflicts with parents over what they are permitted to do, so girls have to deal with that on top of academics. So yes, girls and their parents are working a lot of stuff out, and hey, sports is one way to keep them on track, isn't it?
Well, it is, and in any kind of physical activity, whether you're actually an organized sport or you're just being active in exercise, is to be a leader of your own self and to be a leader of your body. And I think with parents, and they see you self-leading yourself.
So I want to say goodbye to you. Tell us your website.
It's girlsarechampions.org.
Girlsarechampions.org. Thank you so much to my guests. Let's take a listen to our Sacramento report now.
I'm Associate Producer Lacey Daniel, and this is the Childhood Matters Sacramento Report. I'm here with Vice President for Policy at Children Now and former Assemblywoman Wilma Chan, and today we're going to be talking about California's budget crisis. Well, legislators have been battling it out for months now trying to balance this budget. Can you tell me how some of the proposed cuts will affect children and families?
Absolutely. The budget proposals that are being debated this week will have a disproportionate effect on children and poor children in California. So I wanted to give you a few examples because listeners need to know this. For schools, kids would be cut about $450 per child. They're going to get less money, and they already get less money. We get half of what New York gets. The proposal also may eliminate health insurance for close to a million children in California. In addition, things like clothing for foster care children are on the table to be eliminated, as well as mental health services for young children. And those who are in college may get their student aid eliminated. There will be 300,000 less students who will get aid so that they can attend UC or CSU.
Education is valuable to all Californians, and parents are particularly invested in their children's future. Why are these cuts being proposed?
Well, there is a huge budget deficit, as other states have, but California has to make these tough choices. And this is a week where People should call their legislators and the governor's office and let them know that these are not the cuts that they want. Schools will really suffer. Programs will close. Schools will close.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Can you tell us where people can go to learn more about policy affecting their children?
Sure. We have a website at childrennow.org, and you can look for the latest information on policy and links to the budget.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That was Wilma Chan, former Assemblywoman and Vice President for Policy at Children Now. For Childhood Matters, I'm Lacey Daniel.
Thank you to our guests and all of our listeners. I'm grateful to our teams, Ann West producer, Lacey Daniel associate producer, Tony Giorgetti assistant producer, Oscar Juarez at the controls, and Peter B. Collins of Collins Media Services. I'm forever grateful to my children, Pei, Mara, Matt, and Karina. This is Rona saying goodbye until next week, and parents, remember, spend time with your child and don't forget to take good care of yourself. Childhood matters, and so do you.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters.
Produced by Collins Media Services and presented by the nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media.